Today, armor all. This is message number two, putting on the armor of God. I really appreciate your attention, and this is really important for us today. And even if you ain't putting armor on, there might be somebody next to you that wants to, so listen up. All right? Here we go. Come on, let's get with it. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, that's a classic passage on putting on the armor of God. We looked at it last week. We kicked it off. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember last week? Wiles is a strategy that Satan has against every one of you. He has a plan of attack against you. And you need to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the attack he has against you. You need to remember that. This attack is against you. What makes it personal, doesn't it? Attacks against me. But it's against you, too, individually. Young and old, makes no difference. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, he's against you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or spiritual hosts in high places. Satan has a strategy of attack against your life, and he has a host who are organized against you. And so how are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? And if you're here for the first time this week and you're going, well, I don't even believe in the devil, well, you need to get last week's message, okay? Because there is a war and there is a devil. And to not believe in this spiritual battle and to believe in Satan, that he exists and that he's a foe, is to deny your Bible. And so you need to get that. You need to settle that in your head. Just wishing things to go away ain't going to make it happen. We've got to take some action. Let's look at it. There is a real war. We saw that last week. Can you say that with me? There is a real war. Number two we learned last week. Say it with me. We don't have home field advantage. We're on his turf. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the angels beckon me from heaven's open. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. That's right. This world ain't my home. Okay? The songwriter wasn't a nut. That was Bible. Okay? This world, this earth is under a curse. Heaven's our home. Amen? We're looking forward to that. Now, we've got a mission. We've got a journey while we're on this planet. But don't get too comfortable. And this is his. He's got home field advantage. Satan does on this planet. Number three. The battle is, stay with me, intense. Remember seeing Zach last week throw Steve down in a heartbeat? That's what it's going to be like. Without us having the armor on, Satan's going to knock you out. Knock me out. It's intense. Number four, the enemy, help me, is Satan and his forces. There is a real enemy. There's a real war. So now let's pick it up and let's move on with the message today. We will never put on the armor of God unless we realize there's a war and there's an enemy. See, some of you say, well, I try to read the Bible, but they've got this cake. Ain't got time. Because you don't think there's a war. You don't think there's a Satan. Tell you what. You get in a fix and I guarantee it. Well, I just happen to find time now. I tell you, friend, there is a war. And prayer does take work. Reading the Bible takes effort. Getting out of bed on Sunday takes some effort. Yeah, it does. But there's a war, for crying out loud. Confessing sin every day. Every day. Praying, the Bible says, always. That's being in a spirit of prayer. Well, I can't do that. People think I'm enough. Fine, lose the war. You hear what I'm saying? Putting on the armor is a big job. And unless we realize there is a war and that we have an enemy, we ain't going to put it on. And that's the point we tried to make last week. Keep moving. The Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the what? The what? The whole. You know, that's like I was in the keys. And you got the big whole key lime pie. You know what I'm saying? But they want to charge you $3.95 for just one little piece of it. Don't just put on one piece of the armor. Put on the whole thing. That's what this is talking about. We're going to go through the next few weeks looking at this armor. But one or two pieces ain't going to cut it. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. That we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. See, what are we trying to work toward? Success. Victory. That's what I want. Amen? I want victory. I want my family to stay intact. Did you hear me? I want my children to be blessed. I want to do the right thing in my life. I don't want to make dumb, foolish decisions that destroy my life and wreck my marriage. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to stand. You hear what I'm saying? I'd like to maintain a reputation of honor in this community. I'd love to do that. That's what I want in my life. But it's going to take some work. You hear what I'm saying? We just can't have that without putting on this armor that we can stand. I want to stand. We must put on the whole armor of God. We're not to pick and choose. You can't go, well, I like a hat. See, we're going to get to the helmet later. But I like the hat because I like hats. But I don't want all that other stuff on. Need it all. Keep moving. Any piece of the armor in this series that we'll talk about that we refuse to put on is going to leave us vulnerable to the enemy's attack. Okay? That's why we've got to put on the whole armor of God, because Satan has a strategy, a plan of war, a plan of attack against you to destroy your life. So I've got to put on the armor of God. And by the way, this is the one major classic passage in the whole Bible that tells you how to fight the devil. Okay? So boy, we really need to pay attention. You know, so let's look at it. Here we go. We're getting closer. Whew, these messages, I know they're coming. Here we go. It's your responsibility to put on the armor. It's not my responsibility to put the armor on you. Can you imagine in Iraq, if the generals get down there now, come on, Tommy, let me help you with your shoe. Iraq, they can pull your britches up. All right, can I tighten it for you? Let me load your gun for you. Clean it for you. How about that, little Tommy? That ain't flying. And quite frankly, friend, you've got to put your armor on. It's up to you if you want to stand against Satan. You see what I'm saying? Well, I don't care. I could give a rip all my life to go to pot. Great. Have at it. It's going to be up to you to put the armor on. Get dressed. So let's do it. You ready to get dressed? Say it. We want some clothes on you people. There we go. Now, you know, it's understood that when you go to battle, you got some clothes on. So we're not talking about clothes so much right now. We're talking about armor, okay? All of you are clothed and you look okay. But see, we can't see the spiritual things that's going on in your life. And the battles that you're facing and the demonic attack that's coming against you. Because you're all clothed and looking good. I'll tell you something, you need some armor on. So let's go right now to the Bible. Here we go. Two things you're going to put on today. That is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Can you say that with me? The belt of truth. And we're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Those two things today. The belt and the breastplate. Looking at two things today to put on. So let's look at the first one. The belt of truth. Back to the Bible. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. First question, having your loins girt about with truth. What is that? You know what I'm saying? What is your loins girt? G-I-R-T, girt. That sounds like something you catch. You got the girt. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't it? You know what I mean? So what is gird up your loins? Because we can't put armor on unless we know what we're doing. Gird up your loins. Okay? Here's the idea. It's talking about a girdle. I know. What was the lady that did the girdle commercial years ago? Well, do we know her name? It's been plaguing me. That's it! Been thinking about it all week. We ain't talking about Jane Russell, all right? Here we go. Here we go. Kids, believe it or not, on television years ago, there used to be commercials with women that would talk about girdles. Can you believe? You don't even know what one is, do you? It's this thing that holds you in really tight. That's not what we're talking about. So get that out of your mind. That ain't even what we're talking about. We're talking about Roman soldiers. They wore robes that were long and flowing. And many times you see them a little shorter. But many times because they're pulled up. The robes are pulled up. They were long and flowing. Or they're pulled. They've got capes and things that are flowing. And they've got to tuck those in. Watch it. Roman soldiers wore these long flowing robes. And when running or moving quickly, watch it. He would pull it up and he would tuck it into this girdle. It was a 6-inch or so belt that fastened around his midsection. I mean, you got this long robe thing happening. You know, when you're going to battle, it sure helps if you take that thing and you put it around you and you got it properly fastened and everything so that you can go to battle. You hear me? Does that make sense to you? So the belt of truth, and it's this area right in here, in the midsection. It was usually made of leather or linen, but it was used to be a place to store weapons like a sword or a quiver of arrows. So on this belt, not only would it hold up this garment as you're fighting so you don't get tripped up, but it was also a place where you could put the sword, you could put the arrows. This belt was really important. Keep moving. It had to be strong to support these weapons. Some of the little flimsy girly belt ain't going to cut it. You see what I'm saying?
I just have to strain. That ain't going to cut it.
It's got to be something strong to hold the sword, to hold the quiver of arrows. If you put the robe in, it's going to stay. Because you're fighting. This is war. This ain't a fashion show. You see what I mean? So put on the belt. There's a place also where the medals were pinned. Medals of honor would be pinned on that belt. The belt was really, really important. Keep moving. Why does God mention this first? Think about it. Out of all the armor, He mentions the belt. Why the belt? Well, belt's pretty important, isn't it? Let's look at it. Two reasons. Number one, without the belt, the road will fall down. You get tripped up. You hear me say? Without the belt, the soldier would have the road fall down and he'd get tripped up. And I'm telling you what, that's what Satan wants to do with you. Without the belt of truth, you're going to fall down, friend. And you're going to get tripped up. And you're not going to be able to fight him. That's the point. Here's another point. And that is, without the belt, you wouldn't be able to have weapons you need to fight the enemy. Okay? Weapons to fight the enemy. What's the Bible called? It's called the what? The sword of the what? Spirit. See? The truth of God's Word. We've got to have on the belt of truth. The truth of God's Word. If we don't have on this belt of truth, we're going to get tripped up. We're not going to be able to have the enemies that we fight Satan with. And now let's look at several scriptures. A lot of scriptures today. The belt's the bottom line. Can you say that with me? The belt is the bottom line. We're going to start right here. Why didn't we start at the end and work our way back? This is the bottom line. You've got to have truth in your life. Do you understand that? Satan is the father of lies. We're going to see that in just a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's keep moving. Truth is the bottom line for the Christian. That's what we say in your life. If you're about phoniness, and a lot of people come to church and they want to be phony, and it's something we have to fight diligently. But I want to be sincere in my faith. I want to be honest in my faith. I'm not here to please any of you. We all ought to think that way. I am here today to please the Lord. Can you say that? I am here today to please the Lord. That's the way we need to think. But Satan wants us to please each other. He wants us to do it just because that's the way we've always done it. We need to have a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Truth. Let's keep moving. Satan is the great deceiver. That means he doesn't want you to know truth. Another thing about Satan, he's the father of lies. Look at John 8:44. If you have a Bible, you can turn along with us. We've got a lot of scripture. You're the father, you are of your father, the devil, Jesus said. The lust of your father, that Satan, you will do. Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, in Satan. When he speaks, Satan speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a what? A liar, and he's the father of it. So you know how you fight the father of lies, let me tell you, with what? Truth. You always fight liars with truth, don't you? You want to put a liar in his spot? Tell the truth. Gigs up. Somebody lie like a dog. Tell the truth, they'll run like a scared cat. Tell the truth. Truth, isn't that the way truth is, Satan? People hate the truth sometimes, especially if they're liars. See, Satan hates the truth because he's a liar. So that's why this is so vital. If you want Satan to back off, sucker, tell the truth. Have the belt of truth on. Be in the Word of God. Let's keep moving. If you don't have the truth, you're shot. You're toast. You're history. If you're living your life and it's not a life of truth, and your faith is based on some myth or some mess or some man-made whatever, you're shot. Satan's so tickled with you. You ain't got armor on. Got nothing on. Here we go. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the what? The truth. And boy, he made it plain Jane English for us. And the life. No man comes to the what? Father but by me. Truth. 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 Put on the truth. Three things about truth, and then we're going to see three things about righteousness. All right, so stay with me. Come on, we want to get dressed. Three things about truth, and they're real simple. Number one, truth with God. What are we talking about, the belt of truth? And these are things that I thought of that I think are important. Truth with God. John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the what? Truth shall make you
free.
Truth with God. Truth with God. Friend, look at what Titus says. In hope of eternal life, which God, say it with me, that cannot what? Lie. Promised before the world began. See, you need to have truth with God. Truth with God. When you look at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you go, not really? We evolved. Do you do that? That's denying the truth of God's word. When you do that, well, it's science and that's slick and I can get by with it. You're not going to, fine, have it your way. Get by with it if you want to. Don't put on the truth. That's truth, friend. You might not understand that Jesus was born of a virgin. I don't either. You might not understand why he would die on the cross. I don't either. You might not understand how he rose from the grave. I don't either. But the Bible says it. I believe the Bible. The biggest thing I struggle with is how God could love somebody like me. But he does. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says God loved me first. And then I love him. That's what it says. Truth with God. You need to accept God's truth. Truth isn't what you think. It's what God thinks. Can you tell somebody that? Why don't you look at somebody and say that? Truth isn't what you think. It's what God thinks. We're going to get a fight going right here. That's good. That's good. Hey, what you think? What God thinks. That's what it is. Look at this one. Here we go. We come to him on his terms, not ours. We're talking about the belt of truth. We're talking about truth with God. We can't make up truth or somehow take a little bit of what God says, but not take all that he says. I don't know how you. I don't know how churches get by with that. I don't know how whole denominations get by with that. Do you say? I don't understand. I mean, truth with God. I must have on the belt of truth. And the first thing about truth is I need truth with God. God, you're telling me the truth, and I believe you. Next. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to thy word. How can I get clean? How can I get right with God? What does the Bible say? It comes from God's word. His word is truth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In? It doesn't matter what you or I think. We can try to change it. We can try to wish it away. Listen, God's word is truth. It's settled in heaven. Truth with God. Is that how you feel about God's word? I know this is maybe old-fashioned preaching, but this is what we need. Thy word is very pure. When you look at the Bible, you pick it up and go, well, I mean, you know, it's got all those errors and everything like that. I'm not sure if we can really trust it. Or do you look at God's word and go, hallelujah, praise God, it's very pure. Amen? That's how I look at God's word. I don't pick up God's word and go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I don't have anything to base my faith on. I don't have anything to preach on Sunday. What is that about? His word's pure. Your servant loves it. Next, Ephesians 4:15. That we henceforth be no children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, whatever man says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in what? Love. May grow up into him in all things which is head, even Christ. Truth with God. I believe God's truth. Are you there? Say, do you believe that? Do you believe God's truth? Satan hates that. That's that belt of truth. Next thing is this. Truth with yourself. Truth with yourself. Let's look at it. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Not only do you have to be right with the Lord in the area of truth where you say, your word is true. And what you say is what I believe. But also, you need to look at yourself and see, are you a person of truth? Do you really believe God's word? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Dumbest thing I've ever seen is somebody that tries to act like they're a Christian, but they're not. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, they say they're a Christian, but then they don't really want to be one. I mean, because when you're a Christian, all hell's coming against you. You may as well jump in with both feet because he's coming after you like nobody's business. You know what I'm saying? But to play at it makes no sense. Truth with yourself. Are you really in the truth and a person of truth? Thy word's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Keep moving. Proverbs 6:18. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief. This talks about six things the Lord hates. That's one of them. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. A lot of times, folks, we need to have a cleansing. We need to have a cleansing. The Bible says that we're to submit ourselves unto God, sacrifice ourselves unto God. That's our reasonable service. It says that we need to have our minds conformed, transformed to the image of Christ, because we so often we have wicked imaginations. Our idea is that I'm saved. I'm a good Christian. A lot of people feel that way. They're not even saved at all. I'm right with God. Met a lady yesterday, or 2 days ago. And she said, God's got to take it easy on me. I was at a restaurant just talking to her, having a nice time. Asked her how she's doing. She said, I'm better. So I talked to her a little bit. She's a waitress. And then finally she told me, she says, God's got to take it easy on me. Because the guy she was living with just died of a stroke. And that's bad. That's terrible. But the fact of the matter is, it's somehow God's fault that did that. She's got her mind believing somehow that she has a relationship with God and that things are up. She didn't even know God. She was asking me questions about God. She said some spiritual person, very spiritual person, told her that if you're good, your good works will be weighing, and if you're good, you'll go to heaven. If you're bad, you'll go to hell. That's her great spiritual advisor. Does the Bible say that, yes or no?
No.
The Bible says we're all what? Bad. That's the bottom line. And then she said, and then there's this place you go called, I don't know, what is it, like Kirk or something?
No.
Yeah, I said, yeah, it's not in the Bible at all. You won't find the Bible at all. We create these imaginations in our head of the way heaven is, the way salvation is, the way the Bible is. You've got to get real. The Bible says Jesus died for you on the cross, rose from the dead. If you accept Him, you're in. If you don't, you're out. End of story. That's ugly, ain't it? Oh, I can't believe you said that. What? That's so easy. Come on. You're brave. Believe on Him. Quit having these wicked. You've got to be at truth with yourself. If you're ever going to fight the devil, but you're really not a born-again Christian, and you really don't know that you're saved, that you really, if you die today, you go to heaven. Listen, you don't got a dog's chance. Your robe's falling. You hear it? Your sword, your arrows are laying back there. You gotta get with yourself here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? And their foolish heart was darkened. Until you say, the book is true, God, I'm true with You. I'm true with myself. I see me as I am. Sorry as a day is long. I'm going to start from zero. And we're going to go from right here. And I ask You to work in my life through this book, Your truth. Truth, Lord, with myself. I'm not going to keep imagining these things or fairy tales about You. What does the Bible say? I want to be right and sincere. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. One of our biggest hurdles is us when it comes to the area of truth. Now, we can blame it on a church up north somewhere, but one of our biggest problems is us. We imagine these things in our head. I don't know if I've lost you or not. I hope not. But we need to be at truth with ourselves. Do I believe the truth, and am I a person of truth? Have I accepted the truth? Or am I floating something up in my head? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Truth with ourselves. We must be honest with ourselves. Watch it. We must be sincere. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Many of you know the stories about the old Roman pottery. It would be cracked, but it would look great. And the shysters would take a wax and they would put it on the pottery inside. It would look just like the real thing. And they would sell it for a lot of money until you held it up to the light and you'd see the cracks. And they would go, no sincera. That's where that comes from. Sincere comes from there's no cracks in the pottery. Are you a sincere person in your heart? Do you have me fooled and everybody and their brother fooled? Who cares? We don't even care if you're fooling us. Do you understand? We want you to be right with the Lord. What my desire for you is that you can say, Pastor Clark, I have my warts, I've got my wrinkles, but you know what? I'm in truth with myself now. I know my weaknesses. I know my flaws. I'm getting rid of all that mess. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe His Word. I'm getting rid of the cracks. Amen?
That's where we want you in your life. That's what I want for my life. Truth with yourself. Game playing ain't going to cut it when you're at war. Who wants to go to war with a crackpot? You know what I'm saying? Who wants to do that? Come on. Look at this. A lot of people do this. A lot of people fool themselves by saying this. I don't have any sin in my life. I'm okay. Why do I need to trust Jesus? I pick up my neighbor's mail for crying out loud when they're at home. I work at Meals on Wheels, and that's a nice thing. But it ain't going to get you to heaven. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in who? Us. Truth with yourself. Last thing is this about truth this morning. I know this, you know, this isn't like your tickle your funny bone message, because this is serious stuff. War is tough. Truth with others. So we've got the belt of truth. Truth with God, truth with ourselves, truth with others. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you are a liar, listen to me, you forsake any mercy that you say you have. Okay? We need, people in this world, in this community, need to see us as people of truth. Do you understand that? If you are a person that can lie and just lie, I can lie about that. Listen, can you go fight the devil and father of lies? This is funny. You the little liar compared to the big liar. You see what I'm saying? You ain't got a dog's chance. Truth kills the sucker. He hates you being a person of truth. Stop lying. Realize when you lie, when I lie, I am forsaking mercy. Wow. How many for our little lie that we tell, we want to give up mercy, the mercy of God? Do we want to do that? Say. I don't. Look at this. Truth with others. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Who likes somebody who is a false preacher that twists everything around and doesn't preach the truth? We hate that, don't we? I hate it. Putting money in your own pocket. You like that saying? I don't like it at all. It makes me sick. I'm ashamed to even be associated with them. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know what Fellowship Church should be in Englewood? Pillar and ground of truth. And the people who make up Fellowship Church. See, this is a rented building, so Fellowship Church is you guys. You understand that? So if we're a bunch of liars and cheats and crooks that go around this community, we're not a pillar. A pillar holds something up. Okay? Look at this. Are you a pillar? Or are you a caterpillar? Which are you? Are you holding something up? Or are you crawling in on Sunday and crawling out? We need people that are honest. They're honest with God. They're honest with themselves. But they're honest with our community. You see what I'm saying? The best person, I think, is a person who admits, oh man, I'm a sinner. And this is what I've done. But God forgave me of that. And I'm trying now, by His grace and His Spirit, to live a new life. I'm a new creature in Christ now. That's a powerful story. That is a pillar. Pillars aren't sinless. Pillars are honest and sincere and right with God. So, we need to be in truth with others. A couple of the scriptures. Psalm 119. Great psalm. If you want to read it, it'll help you. I do that this afternoon if you've got time. It's long, but it's great. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. It's a choice today if you want to be truthful. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck under thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Truth. Three things about it. Choose truth. Two, stick to the truth. Last, run in the way of truth. So you understand? I don't know if you understand or not. I've tried. But the belt of truth. You understand it a little bit better? The belt of truth. Truth with God. Your word is true, Lord. I accept it. Truth with myself. Things that I think that aren't true, that I'm making up, that I'm living my life. This is my religion. Trash it. Get the truth. Amen? And then be at truth with others. The belt of truth. If Satan can cause you to lose that belt in any way, shape, or form, your robe's going to fall down. Your arrows aren't going to be there. Your sword of the Spirit. You're going to be in bad shape. The second thing this morning of the message, and we got to fly, is the breastplate of righteousness. And this isn't as long, so don't faint. Here we go. The breastplate of righteousness. It ought to be as long. It ought to take the whole message. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. You sort of feel like you know a little bit more about that, I hope. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. What is that all about? Well, let's go back to a little bit of history. Here it is. The breastplate was the piece of armor that covered the body from the neck to the thighs. Now, if you're like me, the belt at first, I'm like, I don't know about that belt. But now the armor, the thing in the front, I want that. Don't you say, if I'm going to battle, give me one of them. You know what I mean? It covered the thigh, it covered the shoulders. Matter of fact, in your little worship guide inside, you got the little dude. You see the little guy in the worship guide inside, the little guy? He's got the hat on. He's got the shoulder pieces. See him? Ain't he cute? He's got that on his thighs, don't he? See that piece of armor? That's what it is. It's very important. Let's keep moving. There were two parts of this armor. The front was one solid piece, and then the other was over the shoulders and was fastened tightly with straps. So that's the armor, the breastplate. Without the breastplate, the warrior was dangerously exposed to the enemy and was not prepared to do battle. Let me just say something to you. Put that armor back up, Roger. There's some pretty important stuff right behind that. Are you hearing me say? So if you don't have that on, there's some stuff that can get hurt. You see what I mean? This is really important. God names this right after truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what is it? Let's see. First of all, it's righteousness. It's righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is the believer's protection. Can you say that with me? Righteousness is the believer's protection. See, I'm not to be righteous, and certainly self-righteous, just to please you. Boy, look, he's really righteous. I am righteous because that's my protection against Satan. Righteousness. So let's see, what are we talking about here? Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Three things about righteousness, real quick, and they're very similar. Number one, righteousness are right with God. Right with God. Isaiah 64:6 says, we're all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. See, we can't trust in our righteousness. We've got to be right with God. Does that make sense to you? Well, I'm compared to Chuck, I'm probably about as good as Chuck. Chuck about as good as me, right? Big deal! We're both going to hell if we don't get right with the Lord. Do you hear me, Chief? Okay? That's the key. Get right with God. Well, I do better than he does. Who cares? Get right with the Lord. Let's look at righteousness with God. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. See there? Jesus came down, died on the cross so that you could be righteous. Are you right with God? Have you accepted that for your life? Romans 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man will some even dare to die. But what's this? But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. You've got to have on that breastplate of righteousness to fight Satan. You've got to be right with God. I've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:9, being found in him, not having my what? My own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How do I get right with God? I can't have my own righteousness. I've got to have his righteousness. I realize I'm a sinner. Lord, I accept what you did for me. I believe in you. I believe only in you. You're the way, the truth, the life. I can't get anywhere without you. And that's the righteousness of God, getting right with God. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature! Get right with him! Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I need to be right with the Lord. I need that breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What I got ain't going to cut it. I need to accept him and put that on. That's the real armor. The second thing, not just right with God, but number two, right with ourselves. The breastplate of righteousness protects our heart. The breastplate of righteousness protects our heart. When we cover our hearts with phoniness and hypocrisy, we're pierced through with many sorrows. It sort of goes in truth with yourself. If you're not right with yourself,
You really need to look today, and I need to look today, if I'm going to really effectively fight Satan in this war, I need to look inside of me, and I need to say, am I really right with the Lord? And therefore, am I right with me? Am I seeing myself as I really am? Or am I covering this up with phoniness and hypocrisy? I need to come clean. I'm going to get shot. 1 John 1:9. Here's the beautiful thing. Look at it. If we confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. If somehow we believe that we're right with the Lord, but we're not right with the Lord, that's unrighteousness. And Satan has a direct arrow at us. The third thing. So right with God, right with ourselves, right with others. Ephesians 4. I just want to walk through here and we're done. 25 to 32. We need to be right with others. We need to have the righteousness of God on us, that breastplate of righteousness. And as much as possible, people, we need to be right with other people. Did you hear me? You ever known somebody, you try to be right with them, and they just won't let you be right with them? Say, you know people like that? So I'm not saying you're going to fix everything, but as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Try to be right with people. Look at it. Wherefore, put away lying. Can't you do that? Say, yeah, Pastor. Put it away. You don't have to lie to your neighbors. You don't have to lie to your friends. Stop it. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Doesn't mean God knows you're not superhuman here. We get upset. But there's ways to be angry without beating somebody with a ball bat. You understand? Or cursing them like nobody's business. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at this, verse 27. Look at this. Need to give place to the what? When you're not right with other people, you give place to the devil. What does that mean? Uh-oh, I dropped the armor. See what I mean? We've got to be right with other people. Sometimes we're so worried about us being wrong, we forget that we're not right, and therefore we get attacked by the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. If you've been a thief, get right with God, quit it! Did you hear me? Say it. You're kidding? I got to quit? Yeah. But rather let him labor. You know what that means? Work. Get a job. Work with your hands. This is helping us be right with other people. Believe it or not, people don't like you stealing their stuff, okay? And people really don't like you being a deadbeat. I mean, really, honestly. Pull your weight. Work with your hands and think which is good that you can give to him that has needs. Instead of being a person always taking from other people. Come on. That gets old in a heartbeat too. You hear me? If possible, be different. Be changed. Be right with other people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You're not right with other people if what comes out of your mouth is trash. 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 Are you hearing me today? But I'm right with God. I'm fighting the devil. You ain't fighting nobody. Come on. Corrupt communication should come out of it. We need to be right with other people. I don't know why that guy doesn't like me. Well, did you hear what you called him last week? You know what I mean? Come on! But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up people, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Our actions toward other people grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to their redemption. We need the Holy Spirit to help us fight this battle. Do you hear me? Right with God, right with ourselves, right with others, and the Holy Spirit's right there with us. And man, we're fighting the devil, and we're winning. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put it out of your mouth. Put it away from you with all malice. Verse 32. Can you read that with me? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as who? For Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, today, this is just my take on this armor stuff, okay? But today we've seen two pieces of armor. The belt, it helps me so I can run so I don't trip up. The belt helps me with my weapons, the sword of the Spirit, those arrows in my quiver. I need that belt of truth. Without truth, just think of this way, without truth, your breeches are going to fall down. Okay? That's not a pretty sight. Okay? Look at me. All right, here we go. That ain't good. All right? So you need the belt. The second thing, the breastplate of righteousness. I need to be right with God.
Can you say that with me?
I need to be right with God. I need to be right with myself. And I need to be right with others. Thank you. Let's stand again. Thank you so much.